I'm thankful to be here again with you, saints. God is precious and wonderful. I've been meditating on some tasty shish kebab morsels in the book of Isaiah. And I've been teaching the book of Isaiah. I think we're in chapter 31 there in Juarez, Mexico. And just going over the highlight verses in the book of Isaiah that are like, do you like shish kebab skewers? I like the bittersweet taste, different kind of meats, and it's delicious, just the different blending of flavors. And that's the way the book of Isaiah is to me. It's also like a patchwork of on a quilt. It's not the same material. It's the different colors, different fibers. And the quilts that give it beauty, the blankets, you've seen them. It's just a patchwork. They don't really go together, but they put them together, and it just makes something beautiful, beautiful artwork. And so I'd like to cover just the first chapters of Isaiah. It would take months to find all the delicious shish kebab morsels from the book of Isaiah, but we'd like to cover a few of them today. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. When I think about the fact that I didn't know God, I didn't know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I didn't know God's people in my life, it just grieves my heart to think that I thank the Lord that in a young age I did find the Lord, but it grieves my heart to think that I lived wanting to even commit suicide, wanting to just go in a dark corner and hide, because there was abuse, yelling, screaming, drug abuse, and many other things in our home. The ox knoweth not his owner. I didn't know my owner. I didn't know my master's crib. That word means manger or stall. I didn't know my feeding place. I was thinking about a cat that we had. Some years back, we moved to El Paso, Texas. We were living in Rio Rancho, Mexico. The Lord moved us to sell our home so that we could preach in Juarez, Mexico. The Lord moved us to El Paso, Texas, and we're looking for a house. To make a long story short, a cat met us, and he was kind of inviting us. And we named the cat, what was the name? Listen, Kitty Linda. We've had so many, I'm getting confused now. Kitty Linda. And she came and greeted us, and I love animals, and she was like, buy this house right here. And so we bought the home like 3 months later, and lo and behold, the cat was still there, and she was hungry. She was real thin, and so we started feeding her, and then she started getting fatter and fatter, and we found out she was expecting. And so I wanted to be sure she didn't have the kittens underneath the house or in a hiding place, so I built a little box. I put black plastic over it, and I put a little door, and I would put her in there, and then she'd go, and then she'd go out. She didn't want to be in there. And I'd get her, and I'd put her in there. I'd say, you have your babies, and they go, and she'd go out. So anyway, we went out of town for 4 days, and we came back. Guess where the kittens were? She had them inside the box. She knew where she was welcome. She knew where the babies were safe, and so she had them in our box. And I felt very honored that way that she chose my box, even when she complained a little bit and murmured about it. And so maybe in the beginning we're murmuring and complaining and don't want to get into the box of God's grace, where we're covered underneath his sheltering wings. And we'd rather go somewhere else where our soul will be in danger. And I'm thankful that she decided to have the kittens there, and that she understood that I was now her owner, that I was the one that loved her, I was the one that would feed her, I was the one that would take care of her. The ox knoweth not his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Excuse me. The ox knoweth his owner. Pardon me. And the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. It's sad that animals immediately know the owner. They know who to be loyal to. And they're loyal to their owners. But so many people in the world, as we're hearing, they don't know their owner. They don't know the creator. Oh, but it's our responsibility to show them that our owner, we're his willing slaves. He's our king. He's our Lord. He's our owner, the owner of our souls. He first made us. We're his because of creation. Then we're his because of redemption. He bought us. Not only made us, but he bought us back again. And I want to live in such a way that others will want to know my owner. And I never want to be as the Israelites were, that they didn't know their owner, that I would lose my knowledge of him. I'm thankful to know him. Praise the Lord. Another tasty morsel is in Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I was thinking about that word crimson, the word crimson color. It comes from a worm that was mashed, and it was, the dye was made out of it, and you would dip the clothing into this dye twice. And that's why it's saying, though it be red like crimson, even though it's been double dyed in this problem, in this addiction, in this thing that you're so used to doing, it can be made white as snow. The worm is usually in a tree in Arabia, which is called Kermes. And that's where the name crimson comes from. It's derived from this tree, Kermes. And so I was thinking about the wonderful invitation to us all to come now. Don't wait. Don't wait until another moment. It might be too late. Don't wait. Come now. It's easy to think that I have time, I have years. But, you know, we're recently in a car accident. Our life could have been taken just like that. You could leave from here tonight and be in a car accident. Are you sure that you have reasoned with God, you've repented, and you've asked him to wash you of all your sins? Maybe you've already been washed of all your sins, but you've committed a new sin. And you know that you're wrong. And you know that you're sinning. Well, God says to you, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My wife usually uses about 3 different products in getting her clothes clean. I like to garden, and I usually like to put on this light, for my poor wife, this light, almost whitish, tannish khaki pants to do my gardening. And when I get done, they look horrible. I mean, it looks like I rolled around and I mashed grass in it and everything. And I give them to her, and when she has them all ironed ready, they're all clean and spotless again. I wonder how she do it. Well, one of the secrets is, I guess it's okay to name the brand, it's called Awesome. We've been using Awesome for years. It dissolves grease and tar and all kinds of stuff, crayon, grass and dirt and all this stuff that us gardeners do as we roll around in the dirt and enjoy it. We're thankful that we have an awesome product called the blood of Jesus. It has not lost its power. It's not, adultery is not too much for the blood of Jesus. It can erase it and forgive it. Pornography is not too much for the blood of Jesus. It can erase it, forgive it, and set us free from it. Give us the victory over it. There's not one thing that this awesome blood of Jesus cannot do. Isn't that wonderful? Has the devil told you, you've done this one too many times? It's been going on too long, and I can't break it. You know, the blood of Jesus doesn't just wash us of the committed sin. It washes us of our sins, from our sins. From the power and the ability, from the power that the sin has over us, it can wash us from that. I've experienced that in my life. Praise the Lord. And I know that many of you here have also. I'd like to tell about Edgar and Elia. You have been hearing me tell about it now for 1 year and 3 months. By the missionary letter or the few times I've been with y'all. Edgar and Elia. I met Edgar one night in the back of the chapel. I was, a man called me to pray for him. He was dying. He was in overdose in alcohol. And this Edgar was like in the house a little further up in the same enclosed patio. And he heard me praying for this man. He said, come over here. I want you to pray for me. I want to change. And I was praying for this man and giving him milk, and he was dying. He was getting stiff because he had drank too much alcohol. He was about to die. But the Lord healed him, and he didn't die. Brother Edgar asked me about 5 times, come over and pray for me. I want to change. And I couldn't leave. I had to be. So finally, I went over there and prayed with him. I think he's just another drunk, just like the rest, I'm sure. But I'm going to pray. I believe that God can help him. Well, I did. Well, he didn't come to services for 2 weeks. He kept on making excuses. Finally, he came with his living girlfriend. To make a long story short, that was 1 year and 3 months ago. Shortly after, he quit drinking. Shortly after, he quit smoking. And we would have married him immediately because they had lived together 5 years, have little America that is 3 years old. But he couldn't even get married because his mother never registered him. He was never named. He was not in the computer system. So it took almost 6 months to get them, get a lawyer. You can get a lawyer. We got a lawyer for $100. Get a lawyer real cheap there. And she worked in the case. She showed him all the steps, and we gave him money, as the way, your money, as he went along so that he could pay for the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. And then finally he got all the 6 or 7 different credentials that he needed, and we were able to marry him and Elia. And so Brother Edgar and Sister Elia, they really were in deep sin in every way. And the Lord has made them white, made them pure. And it's wonderful now to hear them. They didn't even know how to pray. They had never read the Bible. Now they pray. They pray for the saints here in Guthrie. They never give testimony. Now they testify. They exhort in the services. They've been going out to preach with us in the streets now for 1 year and 3 months. Before they were ashamed. She was ashamed to go out in public with a skirt on. By the way, we didn't tell her to wear skirts. She decided to wear skirts. And gradually, she got rid of her pants. Gradually, she got rid of her makeup and jewelry. Gradually, she quit cutting her hair. Gradually, she quit painting her hair. There's about natural color here, and the other color is reddish down here. But praise the Lord, her hair is growing out. And so we thank the Lord that Brother Edgar was a womanizer. He cheated on her within the 5 years with all kinds of women. He'd say, I'm going to work, and he'd be doing other things. We are thankful that his red, crimson-like sins have been made white as snow. And he can do that same for you and for anybody else here. Praise the Lord. Another tasty shish kebab morsel is in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. You know, we're in the last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, praise the Lord, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You know, I used to read this, and I knew it was talking about the gospel message, but I didn't really know it was talking about the church of God, the body of God's people. The church of God isn't this building. The church of God is each individual, whether they're with us here or in the Baptist church or in the Catholic church, just in case you want to misunderstand me. They are the church of God. If they have really received salvation, the moment you're saved, you're attached to the body of Christ, whether you're in the Catholic church, whether you're in the Baptist church. But we're praying that they will come out of that, out of sectism, and come with us to the mountaintop where the view is clear and the doctrine is clear. It's not foggy. Praise the Lord. Just in case you are wondering where I'm getting that from, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched. That's talking about the mountain upon which Moses climbed. And that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness of the tempest. This is in Hebrews 12, 19. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should be not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Because there the thunderings, the voice of God up there, and he was human like you and I, and it was awesome. Verse 22. But ye are come, but we, you and I, but we are come. We're not come to that mountain that's a fearful thing to go to. We're come to a mountain that is wonderful to climb and to be at. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, the church of God, and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's heavenly because we have a part of heaven here with us. We have the Holy Spirit in our souls. We've been born again. We're partakers of the divine nature. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Listen, general assembly and the church of the firstborn. There it is. It's the mountain. The mountain, Mount Zion. The general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men that have never been made perfect. Is that what it says? Of just men made perfect, it says. Amen. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So, when we read of that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, it says, go up to the mountain where we'll be taught and the law will come out. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful that we have climbed this mountain. I'm thankful that we know Mount Zion. And when was this being said, told? I believe this was being told in the 1880s. Come up to the mountain. Come out. Come out of the Catholic Church. Come out of the Baptist Church and flow into the doctrine of Christ. Amen? It began in the 1880s with Dis Warner and company. Praise the Lord. No, it didn't begin then. It began before that. But I mean, it was restored then. Because it says in the last days. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's talking about the last days. We're in the last days right now. Well, you see, since 1880, it's been a long time. Well, to God, it's a little moment. It's like a blink of an eye to God. It's the last days. From the 1880s, it's the last days even right now. Amen. So I'm so thankful. Oh, so wonderful to be in Mount Zion, to be a part of the family of God. Praise the Lord. We can flow into it. We're no longer like little droplets. You can't tell if this is Tony, if this is Brother Philip. We all blend together into one river. All the little droplets become one in Christ, united. Thank the Lord. Another morsel is in Isaiah 3:16. This might be, you know, in the shish kebab skewers, there's some bitter taste too. There's a little bit of the bitter for some people. In the beginning, it might be bitter. To me, it's not bitter anymore, but it was in the beginning. It says in Isaiah 3:16, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite the scab of the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover, etc. Verse 18. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round towers like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, etc. Who will take this away? The Lord will. To the daughters of Zion. That's us. And that's what he did for Sister Elia. Brother Edgar had an earring on his eyebrow, on his tongue, two ears, and another place. I don't remember now. But we didn't say anything about it for 2 months. They both came like that, as they were. And then as the Lord inspired, they started seeing things, and we started preaching about it. And he said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you let me come like this for 2 months? I said, because you weren't ready. And that's not what it was all about. But he took him off immediately. The only one he couldn't take out was the one in his tongue. The screw was, I guess, rusted, and he couldn't get it out. So he needed like $5 to go downtown and get it out. And I kept on forgetting to give him the $5 of 60 pesos. And so it stayed in there for a month. And every time he talked, he said, oh, I keep forgetting about that. He says, yeah, I want to get it out. Well, anyway, finally his wife was able to get it out. The Lord will take them away. Do you want the Lord and the judgment day to yank out those rings, earrings out of your ear? I don't. He's going to take it away. In the shish kebab skewer, there's a little bit of bittersweet. Chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel only. Let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. You know, it says in Matthew 7:21-23, that many shall say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, we have done many wonderful works in thy name, in the name of Jesus. Cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Amen. Prophesied in the name of Jesus. Do we have a lot of preaching here in Guthrie in the name of Jesus? Yeah. Methodists, Baptists, Latter-day Saints. But I've got news for them. Not everybody that saith, Lord, Lord. Not everyone says, Jesus, Jesus, I believe in Jesus. We're the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. No, he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And that's what it's talking about here, that in that day, many will want the name. They want the reproach to be taken away. Maybe they were forsaken of their husband. They'll want the name so that they can say they belong to this man. They're not living without a man. But they want to continue dressing like the dress, and they want to continue eating what they eat. This is talking about spiritually eating the TV, the dance hall, the bar, and dressing with their own righteousness. Like Adam and Eve tried to put on the fig leaves, they dry up and they crumble and they're left. The fig leaves cannot cover us. Our own righteous works will not cover us. The only thing that can cover us is what, saints? The righteousness of Christ, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. No other covering will work for us. Amen? Oh, but they want the name, but we want to cover with their own righteousness. We want to eat what we want to eat. I love that. Those telenovelas. I love those programs, soap operas on TV. Oh, may we not be that way. You know, we met many Church of Gods that are called Church of Gods, and they're dressing like they want to dress spiritually and physically, and they're eating what they want to eat. Oh, may the Lord not, may we not be that way, brothers and sisters. May we take the name, and may we also be doers of the Word of God. Chapter 5, verse 4, another tasty shish kebab tidbit. Isaiah 5:4. What could have been done more to my vineyard, said God Almighty, that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. He had taken out the stones, fertilized it, built a wall, and then it gave wild grapes. There's a singer in Spanish, it's called, his name is Ricky Martin, and he sings a song called La Vida. I don't know the song too well, but I've heard it in buses. Living the vida loca. La vida loca, or the crazy life. Living the crazy life. Are you living the vida loca? Are you living the wild life? Oh no, I'm one of the saints. Yeah, but how do you dress and where do you go when nobody's watching? What are you watching on the computer when nobody's there? Are you living the vida loca? Have you, instead of giving pure fruit that comes from abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ, we be in the branches, you've dried up, you've shriveled up, and you've separated yourself from him, and you're doing things that are wild. We're thankful that the Lord can deliver us from that. Praise the Lord. Oh, he doesn't want us to give wild fruit. Wild fruit is adultery, fornication, anger, wrath, malice. The fruit that he wants is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. What could have been done more to my vineyard? You know, we as the saints are so blessed. You're more blessed than the set and I are. We're over there in El Paso, Texas, and I hear often, oh, we're going to this meeting, we're going to that meeting, we're having this camp meeting, we're having this tent meeting. I'm going, whoa, every 3 weeks you're going to a camp meeting or to a tent meeting or something. And I'm going, Lissette and I are the same routine. Juarez, Mexico, we're the ones doing the preaching. I said, I would love to sit in one of those tent meetings. Are you taking in all of that fertilizer and water and yet producing wild fruit? Then God is saying, what more could I have done? I've done it all, and they're still worldly. They still hate to sing the songs of God. They still get yancy and say, that preacher's preaching more than 15 minutes. They should have him sit down. Have him sat down. Is that what you feel? Oh, how come you can watch on the computer for 2 hours and 30 minutes, that little TV show that you watch? that little video and you don't say, shut it off. May the Lord help us. May we love the Word of God more than those little videos. You better let go of them because you're going to be fried on the judgment day if you don't stop it. You understand what I'm saying? You're learning lies, violence. You know God destroyed in Genesis 6, it says that I will destroy the world because of the violence. And here you are watching violence. Action-packed cars exploding and people flying through the air and not even being hurt. It's all make-believe. Understand what I'm saying? If God destroyed the world because of violence, why are you watching it? May the Lord help us. What more could I have done to get them to stop watching that? But they don't want to listen. Where is it going to lead you? Is it going to really draw you closer to Christ? No, it isn't. May the Lord help us. What more could I have done? Isaiah 5:11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. It's very plain, isn't it? Woe unto them. I doubt that any of you saints are drinking alcohol. You know, my dad offered me my first beer when I was age 14, and I didn't accept it. And I've never touched alcohol or wine of any kind. I'm not boasting, because I would have, but I started a relationship with the Lord. I started reading His Word, and I read in there that it says, know ye not that the drunkards, what, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I didn't want to be out of heaven. I didn't want to be in hell. Do you? Better stop drinking. Better stop drinking alcohol. If you're doing it, young people, you're heading straight to hell. Isn't Tony saying it? The Bible says it. Amen. Excuse me for pointing the finger. May I point it to myself first? Oh, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. Another morsels, chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They call what is dark light. It's wonderful. What is bitter they call sweet. One of them is abortion. They say that that's why our current future to be inaugurated president won, because he stood against it. One good point for him, right? Praise the Lord. What's abortion? You were doing something you shouldn't have done to begin with. You should have remained a virgin. You got in the position to have a baby, and now you don't want the saints to know about it. You want to somehow kill it. I know the saints would never do that. But if the devil presents this to you, accept the shame and raise the baby. Or give it up for adoption. Don't kill it. Don't call something that's going to erase so nobody knows it's something good, an escape route. That's a horrible escape route. But if you've done it, praise the Lord, God forgives you. If you repent, and you say, Lord, forgive me. The alternative lifestyle. We love all people. We were preaching in one home where the owners of the home or the people that lived there were two women, two lesbian women. So in case you think I'm against these souls and I hate them, you're wrong. We've been preaching there for about 3 months. That door might have closed now for other reasons. But not once have we said anything about that point. We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to say it when He's ready to say it. We have mentioned the word adultery and fornication, but not those other phrases. And so many call that good. Oh, it's better for a little child to be raised by two women living together, like mommy and daddy, or two men living together like mommy and daddy, than to be raised with no one. But what are those kids going to learn? Are you watching TV programs where they're living this alternative lifestyle? Shame on you if you are. Shame on you for watching any kind of TV. Amen? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then some people will hear the word Bible. Oh, I don't like it. This is the sweetest thing. Like we heard this morning, it's like manna, sweet wafers and honey. It's like that juicy steak. You call this bitter? Give it a chance. Try it. Try it. It's really good. It's tasty. You won't want to stop reading it once you get into it. It's better than internet. Guarantee it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Another tasty shish kebab morsel from the book of Isaiah is in Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. They were saying, holy, holy, holy. The Lord sitting upon a throne. There was once a woman that was riding in a bus, and it was a long ride, and there was a young boy sitting in front of her in the bus, seated in front of her, and the bus had gone quite a distance, and almost everybody on the bus had already gotten off, and new people were on. And so she saw the little boy and said, is your mother with you? He said, no. Well, do you know where you're going? No, I don't. Well, aren't you afraid? The woman said, you're here all alone. He goes, no. Well, she said, why aren't you afraid? Oh, because my dad's the bus driver. Well, you know, we are in the gospel bus. We are in the family of God. And the bus driver, at least my bus driver, my leader, the Holy Spirit, is leading me into all truth. And when there's, I don't know what's above, I can't see because the hill's above me, I trust that my leader, my chauffeur, the Holy Spirit, that he knows where he's leading me. And we both say, well, aren't you afraid to preach in Juarez, Mexico? To stand in front of the motel where the prostitutes are all dressed in a vulgar way and to preach them? No, I'm not. Aren't you afraid to stand in front of the bar and preach them with that power horn speaker that reaches all the way inside? All drunkards are going to hell. Do you know Jesus loves you if you don't repent? Why aren't you afraid to do that, Brother Tony? Because I'm in the bus and Jesus is the one with the steering wheel. And he's the one telling me to do it. So if he tells me to do it, hey, I'm going to do it. I may be tired sometimes, but he gives me strength. He renews me, and I thank the Lord for that. The Lord sitting upon the throne. You know, God still reigns. Are you concerned about this or that? God still reigns. He can still rule and reign and make your outcome come out, the outcome of it to be in a way that will surprise you in a wonderful way. If he reigns in your life, don't be afraid of the future. He has the best plan for you. It'll be the best. Even if it goes through thorns and briars, fire and deep water, at the end, you'll be amazed. You'll be praising the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 6, 5, another tasty morsel. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then the seraphim flew and got a coal in his hand, says in verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. You know, I've heard preachers say, I am a man of unclean lips. They're quoting this. And I'm going, you need to have the Holy Spirit bring that coal and touch the lips of your heart to make you clean, child. And you won't have to say, I'm a man of unclean lips anymore. They misquote it. There are people that say, we need to pray that God forgive us because we're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace, they say. It's not just a quote. I hear it. Yeah, they say, we're sinners saved by grace. They should be saying, I was a sinner who was saved by grace. But they're saying, we are sinners. R means I'm still committing adultery. R, I'm still lying. R, I'm still murdering. That's what they're saying. I'm still lying, but I'm saved by grace. No, you're not. Because the grace of God sets us free from all sin. Amen. I'm so thankful that this coal, when I was sanctified, fell upon my heart, the flame of the Holy Spirit, and purified me. Took out the carnal nature. Thank the Lord. And he can do the same for you if you haven't done that yet. Praise the Lord. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Purged. Sanctification. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We're singing about that tonight. And I'm so thankful that there was a virgin. Wouldn't it have been horrible if there was no virgin that Jesus could have used, that God could have used in heaven to bring forth his son? He used a pure woman, a virgin. I hope that you're keeping a virgin, young man and young woman. By the grace of God, you can. That the Lord can use you to carry Jesus in your life. also to others. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be the one bearing Jesus? You know, there's some women that complain, oh, my back and oh, my stomach and oh, my, because they're expecting. Do you think Mary was complaining? Well, I'm sure she might have had reason to, but I think that if she remembered how this miraculous gift came to her, she would have been praising God. You know, we are bearing about Jesus in our bodies. Are you commemorating? Oh, this dress, I hate it. It's so long. I'd rather be wearing pants. Are you complaining like that? Oh, this long hair, I want to cut it. It's so hard to wash. Are you murmuring and complaining because you're bearing about Christ in your body? I hope not. I hope you say, oh, I don't want to tear any of this hair off or cut the tips, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, it's a glory for women to let her hair grow. Praise the Lord. A virgin shall conceive. Emmanuel, God with us. I'm thankful that God is with us. Praise the Lord. 7:20, and in that same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall be also consumed. It shall also consume the beard. If you notice, if you study the word of God, when God shaved off the head, what does it mean? What happened in Samson when he allowed Delilah to cut his hair? It symbolized rejection, forsaking. Sister, when you cut your hair, you're saying that I'm forsaking God and he's forsaking me. Isaiah 9, verse 2. Another tasty morsel. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. I would have liked to have been in the early morning light that shone. And the apostles were there, but I wasn't. I was in this evening. I've been in this evening light. And you and I are in the evening light. As Jesus is coming back soon, as the sun is going down, it's the evening light that's shining down on us today. There was once a man that was lost in a snowstorm. It got dark and he got confused. He lost his bearings and he was going in circles, and all of a sudden a light turned on in the far distance. Well, the next day they found this man dead, going in circles. Someone in that far distance in the home had gotten up and turned on the light because they had fixed the bottle for a baby. But they turned off the light afterwards again. Just for a short while, he saw the light and started walking in a straight line. They saw the circles and then a straight line and then circles again. Well, that's just a story, and we don't blame the woman for turning off the light. She didn't know, but you know, the Bible says, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, we should be as a light set on a hill. Are we turning off our light? When we talk with our friends, are we cursing? Are we lying? Are we joining in the filthy jokes? You're turning off the light. How will your friend at school, in college, your next door neighbor ever be saved if you're joining in with what they're talking about? Think about it. You're turning off your light. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Praise the Lord, glory to God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, whose name? Jesus Christ's name. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, he's wonderful. Counselor, he gives wonderful counsel. The Mighty God. Oh, I have a trouble with that. I don't believe Jesus is God. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Oh, Jesus isn't the Father. Oh, I have a trouble with that. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, the Prince of Peace. True, there are three in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is now God the Father. But he created you and I. It says in Hebrews, Colossians, that God the Father created the world. So he's our Father too. He created us. He is the Mighty God. Jesus is. When I was in the church that we left, I often called Jesus the Son of God, but I never said that he was God in the flesh, because we were taught that he was not God. Whether you know it or not, Jesus is God. And we're going to go into it a little bit so that we can get it clear. We're not saying that Jesus is God the Father, no. Jesus is God the Son. We're not saying that the Holy Spirit is God the Father nor God the Son. The Holy Spirit is who God is, God the Son. So we're not confused here. There's three, but they're also one. Because they're made of the same stuff, the same essence. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Let me give an example. I have glasses here, glass. This glass is made out of glass, let's say. It's glass. And then you have a window which through which you look out of. It's glass. That's the God. I could say this is, it's made out of God, glass. My glass is made out of God, glass. And the window is made out of glass, God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God were made out of glass, then there would be glass the Father, glass the Son, and glass the Holy Spirit. God is the essence. They're made out of the same essence, the same stuff. That's God. So there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Drinking glass made out of glass. Glasses made out of glasses. Window made out of glass. They're the same material. That material is called glass. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are made out of the same material. That material is called God. That's why they're all three God. But one is called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I used to reject that. And when I had a visit with some religious people, they pointed out this to me, and I was going, that kind of baffled me. Why is Jesus being called Mighty God and the Everlasting Father? I couldn't get it. And I was rejecting that truth. Don't reject that truth. Don't reject something because you don't understand it like I did foolishly. How embarrassing that I rejected it for so long. Jesus was worshipped. How many gods should be worshipped, saints? One. Why did Jesus accept worship when he was laying in the manger and those shepherds came and worshipped him, saints? Would not have the angels said, do not worship him, he is not God? Saints, Jesus is God. If Jesus was not God, he would not have been worshipped. Who understands me? People that were wanting to be healed came and fell and worshipped at his feet. When Jesus resurrected, they held onto his feet and worshipped him. Read it in the last Gospels. You read about it. Jesus was worshipped. The only one that should be worshipped was God. Who was being worshipped? Was that human man being worshipped? No. The divinity in him was being worshipped. That material glass, the Godhead, was being worshipped in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying, saints? Excuse me, I'm not mad, okay? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go to the book before Revelation, the first epistle of John 5:7. The book before Revelation, which is John. Praise the Lord. 1 John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Word is Jesus. He's the verb, the action verb of God. The Word of God is Jesus. The Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit bear witness. Amen. And these three are one. They're one material, like that glass that I just used as example. They're all made out of, you could say glass or God. They're all made out of God. So the three of them are made of the same thing. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one material called God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I'm simplifying it, okay? God is not glass, okay? It's an example. Praise the Lord. The Gospel of John chapter 1:1. Gospel of John chapter 1:1. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word, saints? Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And let's all say it together. And the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. The Word is Jesus. It's saying the Word, Jesus, was God in the beginning. So there it is. From eternity, Jesus was God. When he came to earth, he took on a human nature through the seed of David from the womb of Mary. He was also human, just as human as you and I. But yet, he had a divine nature that was just as divine as God because he was yet God. He could discern the thoughts of men and women. He could hear what they were saying. He was God. When he told Peter to go find the fish, I think it was, to pay the taxes, he knew where that fish would be at and where the coin would be at, and he told him where to get it. He could see, he had x-ray eyes, better than Superman. And he saw where the fish was with the coin, and he caught it, and there was a coin, and he paid the taxes. Do you understand what I'm saying? No man could do that. He was God. The God-man. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Praise the Lord. Then let's go over to Philippians 2:6. We heard about this today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Are we listening to what it's saying? It says, form of God. He was in the same mold as God and equal to God. What does equal to God mean? On the same level. He was God. And he is God. But he emptied himself of a lot of that glory and veiled it in a human flesh. Amen. He emptied himself of a lot to come here to earth. Or else we couldn't have seen him because there would have been so much glory. He did reveal it on the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? Some of that glory came down and they saw the brightness of, he was transfigured before them. They saw some of the glory, but he veiled it most of the time in a human body, human flesh. Hebrews 1:3, it says, it's talking about the Son, the God-appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This is Hebrews 1:3, who being, Jesus, the express image of his glory, of his, meaning God, his, the glory of God, and in all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The word person here, that phrase, express image of his person, the word person comes from the Greek word hypostasis, and it means a setting under, a support underneath something. It means essence, confidence, confident person, substance. Upon the word of God hinges everything. He's the support of everything. Without the word of God, the world could not have been brought into existence. Without the word of God, you and I would not exist. It's our support system. Jesus is our support system. He's mine anyway. I hope he's yours too. And he is the express image of his person, or he is the express image of his substance. We talked about the glass. It's a substance. Eyeglasses, drinking glass, and window. It's the same material, but one serves one purpose, another purpose, right? All three? One's called glasses, drinking glass, and window. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But they're all God, just like the drinking glass and the eyeglasses and the windows made out of the same substance. Glass, you say glass for the window, glass for the cup, and glass for the eyeglasses. So we say God for God the Father, God for God the Son, God for the Holy Spirit. Do we understand, saints? Praise, say amen if you understand. Okay. Praise the Lord. The three are the same substance, but three personalities. Three personages. Three offices. But the same substance. All three are God and one, united together. Praise the Lord. So therefore, maybe we can understand better. For unto us a child is born, and one of his names is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Does that make more sense to us, saints? Apart from the glass, another example that has been given, I'm sure you've heard it, has been water, CO2. What three shapes or substances does it take, saints, you young people? Liquid? Okay, that's one, gas. Liquid? Water? Vapor. But is it still CO2? I'm saying it wrong. H2O, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. Praise the Lord. H2O, excuse me. It takes three forms, right? But it's still water, isn't it? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it's still God. Amen? Praise the Lord. An egg. You've heard this example. I'm teaching the young people especially. You older saints already know this. The young people, especially. An egg is made out of what, young people? Shell, egg white, and yolk. But do we, when we say I'm going to go buy a shell, egg yolk, and egg whites, do we say that? Say I'm going to go buy an egg, right? So God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. But shell, egg white, and yolk. But one egg. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful that Jesus is the mighty God, that He is the everlasting Father. Praise the Lord. Another tasty shish kebab morsel in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 14. Chapter 9, 14. Therefore the Lord will cut from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. How do the leaders in the denominations of today cause the people to err? They teach lies. One of the lies that they teach, praise the Lord, is in Mark. Glory to God. Mark chapter 9, I believe it is. Glory to God. Do you know that many of the pastors and elders of churches today have been divorced and married more than one time? Do you know that? I've been shocked. He could be a pastor teaching the congregation, but yet he's on his second or third wife, and the other two wives are still alive. He's divorced them, but he's remarried again. Is that correct, saints? Do you know that the world teaches that if it was for fornication or adultery, that you can remarry again? The Bible gives that door that you can divorce. We can forgive, but it gives that door if you cannot, if that man is still going on with women and he doesn't want to stop, that you can divorce him. But it doesn't give you the door open to marry again. Does it, saints? Do you know that the teachers of today are causing the people to err? They're saying, go ahead and get married again. He committed adultery on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what did Jesus say? Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 10, and in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter, and he saith unto them, whosoever, doesn't matter if you're a pastor, whosoever, doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States, whosoever shall put away his wife, put away means divorce, for young people that might understand it, whosoever shall divorce his wife and marry another, what saints? Committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. What does it tell us in Galatians 5 that adulterers will what? They shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see how serious it is? If Jesus says, you, sitting out there, you're getting tired of your wife or your husband, and you want to divorce them, and you want to get married to somebody else, and you do get married to somebody else, what are you going to be called? You're going to be called an adulterer. And where do adulterers go? To hell. Unless you repent of it and leave that person, there's an escape. You can leave that person. You can separate them and leave them. If you're married the second time or third time, God loves you if you're in that position. God has mercy on you. Please do not misunderstand. God loves you. May you feel the love of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. What other way do the churches deceive this head and tail that will be cut off, that deceive? They tell us that we sin every day. Amen. Matthew 1:21. Do you know when I met the saints, I didn't believe that I sinned every day, but I believe that some do sin every day. And there were saints in the church. And when I was told that the saints had this doctrine that we don't believe we can sin, I said, that's heresy. That's wrong doctrine, I thought. And I defended what I was teaching. I said, Jesus said that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, how many men here have not lusted after a woman? Then you're an adulterer, I said. You know what I'm saying? I was putting us on the same level. But Jesus said that he came to what? To deliver us from our sins. It says in Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If Brother Gilmore over there was drowning, and Sister Julie, he didn't know how to swim, and Sister Julie saw him drowning, my love, help me! Well, help me! And she jumped in there and saved him and got him by the neck and swam to the shore and brought him to the shore and pumped him out and breathed into him, and he was okay. Would Brother Gilmer continue to say, I'm drowning a little bit every day? That would sound a little foolish, huh? But Sister Julie would say, but I already saved you from drowning. Oh, honey, I drown a little bit every day. Say, no, honey, I already took you out of the water. You're not drowning. Oh, that's a lie. We all drown a little bit every day. That's a phrase. We all sin a little bit every day. But the Bible says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you believe it? It's not just a theory. If you really put in for it, he can justify your soul and give you power to live without sin. It's not just a theory. Praise the Lord. He can save you. Do you have doubt that he can save you from your sin? No, he can save you from your sin. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we have these liars. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail, the prophet that teacheth lies. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Another tidbit morsel on this shish kebab skewer of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, etc. Talking about who? Jesus. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This was cut down. The Jews were cut down. And it looked like everybody was lost, didn't it? They were cut out so that we could be grafted in. Jesus came out of the stem of Jesse, the stem of David, through Mary. It looked like it was dead. It looked like there was no more hope. God had forsaken Israel. He said, how often have I clucked after you like a hen calls out to his chicks, but you would not come underneath my wings. You would not. They didn't want to. But praise the Lord that there's hope extended to us, the Gentiles. And through this rod, I had planted like about 21 palm trees that were like $3.50 from Walmart. I planted a lot of them all around like a fence around a yard. And then 2 years later, it froze and it appeared that it killed all of them. And so I waited and they were trying to rot and fall over. So I started pulling them out. There were two that I couldn't yank up, and so I started to saw them. And as I was sawing through one, it kind of bent over, and there was a green something coming out from the core of it again. It was really alive. And you know, many people look at the Church of God, they look at us Christians, and what they say, you're dead. You don't joke around like we joke around. You don't go to parties like we go to parties. You're dead. But inside of us is what? There's life. This rod of Jesse, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And there shall a rod come forth out of the stem of Jesse. And that spirit of all wisdom and understanding guides us day by day. Thank the Lord. Skipping down to chapter 11, verse 6. Another tasty morsel. I love this part. Isaiah 11, verse 6. And the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Who's the wolf and the lamb here, saints? Are they really animals or are they something else? They're natures. It symbolizes human nature, people. The lion would symbolize someone with a ferocious attitude, impatient, and the lamb, a saint of God. And that lion was changed. That wicked attitude was changed so that it could dwell with the lamb. And only where can this occur? Only, brother and sister, in the family of God. When we're born again into the family of God. I think of those in the ark. Have you ever thought about it? It doesn't say that there were cages in the ark. How did the lion and the lamb in there, how did the lion keep from eating the lamb? How did the cat keep from chasing the rat, the mouse? The dog from trying to eat up the cat? And etc., all the other things that happen. God controlled their nature. He's the one that made them walk into the ark, because he controls them. They went into the ark, and he's the one that calmed them down so that they could dwell with one another. Amen? I'm thankful that we have all been brought humbled. The low places brought up high. We've all been brought into unity of the Spirit. Thank the Lord that we're in the spiritual ark of Christ. Amen. Et cetera, et cetera. It says, they shall not hurt, verse 9, we're in 11, 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. We can be long-suffering, gentle, kind. Yes, we need to be exhort with all long-suffering, Jesus said. Paul told Timothy, exhort with all long-suffering. We need to exhort without being afraid, but being gentle and kind with one another. Amen. We can be long-suffering with one another. Isaiah 11:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set up his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What is this talking about? I believe it's talking about the 1880s, when God, again, the second time, assembled the outcasts, gathered together the dispersed in this holy mountain, the remnant of God's people. 11:11 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Do you know that in the 1880s, there have been all the reformations, as we know, I'm not going to go back to history, you have all studied, I'm sure. Each time they would get a little bit more light and then they'd go back on that light. Amen. But in the 1880s, more gloomy light came down through Diaz, Warner and Company. Amen. Do we still believe it? I believe it. I've read the books. I've read the literature. It makes perfect sense to me. The Holy Spirit has told me it is true. Are you going back in that doctrine? You know you can forget about it. You know you should be reading those old books. You should be reading the history of the Church of God. Not just those books, but this old book too, called the Bible. You should be reading every day lest you forget. And you start going along because your grandpa did it, your grandma did it, and you don't know why, you're just doing it. Don't be that way. Get it from the Bible. Get it from the Holy Spirit that leads you into all truth. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful that this latter day came around and he gathered his people from the four corners of the earth. Gathered to, you know that I was in a church that doesn't believe like we do here, the saints. And he brought me out of that. Brother Carl Schaefer was brought out of something over there, I believe. And there might be some others here that maybe your grandmother, your great-grandmother was brought out of something, sectism. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Word of God that we don't have to worry that it's make-believe, it's real, and it's right here in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And there are many, many other tasty shish kebab morsels in the Word of God, in the book of Isaiah, and maybe you would like to delve into the book of Isaiah yourself. I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God. I'm so thankful that Emmanuel came. I'm so thankful that I do know my owner. I'm so thankful that I'm in the holy mountain. I'm so thankful that I am a spiritual Jew, not circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the heart. I am a real child of Abraham. You are too, by faith. We are the real Israel. We are the real Mount Zion. Praise the Lord.